You are listening to 94.1 KPFA in Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Up next, the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, speaking a little slowly, emerging from the dental midwinter underworld, but here on your behalf. So we are in midwinter. We are in Fun Drive, which I am renaming our Festival of Reciprocal Blessing. May it be so. We have a wonderful show today of deep pertinence, because we want to tease again everything into everything. How do we, pragmatic mystics applied in the actual marketplace? Are we part of a culture that also has an intimacy with ethical business in the marketplace? So, some of today's themes: ally etiquette, Aikido in the mystic marketplace, in which we will host creator of Mary's Gone Crackers, marysgonecrackers.com. It's the wondrous Mary Waldner and the medicine of slow economy. I will bring Mary in some short moments, but first, to weave a little context that is appropriate, it is Zipporah Berman's birthday today. One of our great allies, friend of show, Canadian highly effective environmentalist. And she says, whenever she has despair, she remembers that one of our great strategies is to slow down the bad. Anything up to no good, just slow it down, delay it, because the forces of ingenuity in the marketplace are sprightly. If we just slow down the bad, and we go, okay, we want to go that, and therefore, and speed up the good. A theme that goes with that from Idle No More in Canada, is make bad ideas economically unfeasible, and therefore make good ideas highly feasible. So it is again midwinter, and Norhal, great writer, has said the constant pushing for increase of production, the kind of over yang Mars thing in the marketplace, pushing for an ever greater yield has gotten us into this kerfuffle. So more than perfectly, our guest today, Mary Waldner, is here to file scouting reports from her adventure, highly successful and arduous adventure in the marketplace. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
That's great. So we can start off, if you like, with the cute quip when we spoke some weeks back. You have heard me more than I've heard you.
Yes.
Just how did your business come to be, Mary's Gone Crackers?
Well, there are lots of stories, but the one that involves the Visionary Activist Show was that I was making a lot of... I was diagnosed with celiac disease in 1994, so that's when I stopped eating gluten and started playing with all the different gluten-free options. And I've always been a baker, so I was making a lot of different things, really cool things, and my friends kept telling me I needed to write a cookbook or start something, and I knew I was going to have to start something, but I was a single mom. I had no money. I've never had any money, and I never thought, I couldn't envision how to get a company or anything started when I had no money. And your show was on, and this was probably, I decided to make the crackers in 1999, so it was before then. So you've been on the air for quite a while, but anyway, it was before 99, and you had on your show Swami Beyondananda, And I knew that between the two of you, you guys could come up with something that would get me out of my no-money mindset. So I called you up and explained that I was making gluten-free bagels and gluten-free everything, and you made a lot of jokes about that. And then I said that I don't have any money and I can't do anything, blah, blah. And Swami Vyandananda said, oh, you've got plenty of dough, which was the perfect thing to say. And I knew that was my sentence. And so I, my name is Mary Jo. So I wrote a big sign, a bunch of signs that said, Mary Jo has plenty of dough. And I plastered them all around my house. And whenever I got discouraged and couldn't envision how I was going to get from point A to point B, usually because of money worries, there was that statement that I had plenty of dough, and so I got through it. And it really, truly, I saved those posters until they kind of turned yellow, but they, that really was the tipping point for me to kind of get out of my own way.
That's so wonderful, and we do want to unfurl the adventures of Mary Jo, who has plenty of dough, and
yeah.
And why these small it's kind of like, you know, Etsy, you know, why the small thing right here. We have many planets in Pisces right now above us, straight up overhead in California, which is again the idea we're all dreaming this dream together, we're all in this thing together, and they are opposite the moon in Virgo, which is micro, the right word, the right small thing, even the right tiny thing like a cracker, can have a very big effect. It's why I was so ardently enthused about, you know, no, we have to do a fundraise show about crackers. And some of my teammates were puzzled going, crackers? And I go, no, really, it ties into everything. Any good story will take us to all stories. And we're going to do that. You know, the necessity for an ethical marketplace. And I just wanted to bring in, because all stories do lead us to all stories. There was a, you know, I think I sent this to you, but also audience team. There's a brilliant article that I posted on Facebook. You can like me at coyotenetworknews.com, and it's there. A Daily Kos story called Monsters of Our Own Creation, How Nigerian Corruption, Climate Change Gave Rise to Boko Haram. And it says, Boko Haram is not the problem. Boko Haram is the unfortunate reaction to the problem. And the only way to get rid of the latter is to address the former. The only way that Boko Haram can be neutralized once and for all is to create an ethical economy, to provide opportunities for all Nigerians, not just a select few in the upper echelons of government and industry. And I go, okay, so there's a big, broad thing there, but the economia and the whole ethical realm. So you started Mary's Gone Crackers, which I confess I did not know until we conferred several weeks ago.
I know you didn't know.
but then it was everywhere. I go, is it in my little cute co-op in Cabin John, Maryland? And you were like, yes. And I go, it is. And when I go to Tacoma Park to work with People's Radio, their cute local radio, they're like, oh, we only, just out of the blue, they go, and we have Mary's Crackers. They're the only cracker. They're so great. And I go, oh, she's everywhere. And you are everywhere. So
I am, right.
This is a very successful business, not easily won. I mean, we want to get there, and much that you've learned and continue to learn, but it's a very successful business, yeah?
Yes, it's kind of, it blows my mind, but yes, we've been in business for 10, almost 11 years, and actually, yes, next week, 11 years, and we are all over the U.S. and Canada, and fast getting into, let's see, Australia and Japan and Mexico, and yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing, actually.
So big with ethics.
Big with ethics, yes.
Big with,
well,
ethics.
The it's kind of the only way I knew how to do anything, and my partner too. So it was just what we did. My previous incarnation was as a psychotherapist. I had a practice in Oakland actually for 26 years before I started this company. So healing and doing things the right way and being organic and being real food and and all of that was just kind of a given. And why I started this was because the crackers just tasted so good and people just love them, but they're also very unusual. They're just made with whole grains and seeds. They're not a flour-based cracker, or there's no sugar or oil or anything in them. So they're great for you, and they taste great. And so my mission is that we can eat really well and not hurt the planet and not hurt our bodies and not hurt the farmers and not hurt the employees. In fact, have an environment of abundance and health and joy, and really have our taste buds happy too. So I don't think we have to compromise in any way.
No, they are really good. And you know, part of our dynamic and the shape-shifting of premium enticements for our team to pledge. So you had, your company had very kindly, you know, donated, you know, 2 cases of crackers and 4 cases of cookies, and they are ginger snaps, which are really good, and many things. And then we were like, no, you can't directly do that. So we shape-shifted. So Mary and I are going to have a Tea Party Gathering Visionary Activist Council party with a purpose. And that is that will be on Thursday, March 26th, when I will be in California. We will be having that in the East Bay. It's a scavenger hunt. Once you pledge, we will let you know where it is. It's at 6:30 p.m. And it's an opportunity to cahoot and constellate community, and also really understand about how business practices can be tasty and ethical. And you know, when you pledge for tickets to this gathering, the Caroline and Mary Tea Party, by calling 1-800-439-5732. But when you pledge for this, be sure and tell whomever answers the phone your contact info, email or cell phone, because I will personally be calling you, you lucky things. Either me or Stella Coyote, will be contacting you with logistics. It's a scavenger hunt. You get one clue at a time. So you can come to our gathering March 26th. I will be in California. Mary has good sportedly is coinciding, so we can convene this gathering. We're on air now, and then we like to take our energy off air. It's something we used to do a lot of on the Visionary Activist Show, and we want to reinstate that. And that will be for a pledge of $230 by calling 1-800-439-5732. And by hook or by crook, we're going to have Mary's Gone Crackers crackers and fantastic cookies, and they really are great. I mean, I had not had them before, but they're really wonderful. And once I heal from dental surgery, I'm going back into my stash. And we will have lovely tea and all kinds of things. So again, that is our enticement, the gathering. So many of you have come to wonderful gatherings before, and we haven't done it for some time, and you know, and this is, you know, it's affordable-ish. $230 by calling 1-800-439-5732. We're also offering other things that we'll get to, but that's what Paul Stamets's wonderful DVD on psilocybin and amanita. We want to take tea parties back. We want to have tea. We want to have crackers, you know, and psilocybin and amanita belong there somewhere. It's the Mad Hatter Tea Party. It's a theme. It's a theme. So there's that over to one side.
Well, and I just want to say that I have been a listener of KPFA probably. I moved it to the Bay Area in 1974.
Wow.
And KPFA has been an absolute staple in my life and has changed my life, not only from your show, but I listen to it forever, every day. And it's such an honor to be on this side of the airwaves and to encourage people to support this radio station, because it's just a treasure.
That's great. And also we want to honor about how we can feel jolly, how progressives can feel jolly about money and ethics, and to heal that relationship, because we are in Fun Drive, the Festival of Reciprocal Blessing. And so we want to throw into Pluto's cauldron our kind of whatever, our conflictedness. I mean, Mary Jo has plenty of dough. Apparently that was enough of a rhyme to get you past any hurdle, any Pisces Marxian sense of whaley whaley victim, identify with outsiders, can't be rich kind of thing.
I think what it helped me do was not focus on the money, which is where I got paralyzed, and just focus on one, putting one foot in front of the other and doing what we needed to do to learn about the food industry and to figure out how to get these crackers made, because they're not made like a normal cracker. And so it took us 5 years to... my husband wrote a business plan and focused on all of that stuff, which I never would have been able to do. And I focused on making huge bowls of dough and taking it to different manufacturing equipment places and figuring out what machines would work or could adapt to make them work. So it was quite a process.
Well, I didn't want to. Were you in the middle of a thought there?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because what we were speaking about backstage, I want to kind of honor and tease this into play, because it does connect to everything. You said that, you know, to change the whole paradigm of doing business, how you run a business and how you enter the marketplace. And you said, you know, gender, is a big, I think you said it was even your well-informed psychotherapist self was surprised at how invisible you, as the only woman in the room, very often was. Do you want to?
Right. Well, we had to get investment money, and even though it was often my friends mostly women who were really interested in the company, it was generally their husbands or, you know, somebody of that gender who ended up putting in the money or reading the business plan or getting on the board. And so it ended up, except for the very beginning, it was generally me and four or five men on the board of directors and men at various meetings, and which was fine, except that and my husband very wisely made me chairman of the board, so which I didn't know what that meant, but it gave me a lot more power. But it took me a very long time to learn how to use that power. But we took money after we grew very, very quickly. It was kind of a rocket ship, and there's a million stories. But we took some money from a venture capital group in after about 3 years, because we needed a lot. The more you grow, the more money you need, which is another thing I never knew, because your money gets tied up in inventory and blah, blah. Anyway, so there I was again on a board with six or seven men, most of whom were very successful at business and had a lot of money and had invested in our company and really were... Their agenda became taking over the company, which we didn't know right away. But
I just want to underline that just for a moment, because we do want to honor, you know, predictable crises in entrepreneurial, ethical business.
Right.
We both know, and I guess we don't really need to name any name. We're not going to castigate anybody, but even the heroes, you know, we know people who started ethical good things and for a number of different reasons, either had the business taken away from them, like whoops, when they weren't looking, or weren't paying attention, like, whoa, my God, I just lost my company, or get to a level of success and balk. And go, we gotta haul in the guys from Budweiser.
Right, we need
grown up creeps from Budweiser to do the PR, and they lose their ethical thread. So many things we kind of want to put on the table, you know, and tease it into the realm of, you know, good-hearted people in marketplace, including media, including, you know, public radio. I mean, all of that going, okay, how do we navigate this? Okay,
right.
So yes, now back to you.
We took, not knowing anything about what venture capital typically meant, these were people from the organic food industry who had been very successful at other companies and who had formed a financial group. And so we were honored that they wanted to invest. And what they said was, we want to partner with you. Don't worry about money. Just grow the company. Well, the less we worried about money, the more we grew and the more money we needed. And then we realized, before we had fallen off the cliff, but we were very close to the edge of the cliff before we kind of made a U-turn, that their agenda was to dilute down all of the original investors, which were our friends and us, and it's a financial thing where the more money you get, the more power and control they would get. But we ended up not taking any more money from them, which is what they expected. But in any case,
They
expected us to take more money from them so that they could own more and more of the company.
Ah.
And each time you get kind of desperate because you're growing and you want more money, the stakes get higher. So, okay, we'll give you this money, but now we have an extra seat on the board. And now we're going to dilute down all of the previous investors so they can't add money to the pot. So their percentage of ownership goes down. And the criteria for getting money from them got more and more heinous, that even our board said no, you know, our original board said no. But so there was a lot of arrogance on their part, which was good because it gave us a little time to figure out what they were doing. So here we were, and here I was, a woman on a board with men who were, like I said, successful at business and successful at reading spreadsheets, which I can't do to save my life, and talking a language that I don't speak, but also with a hidden agenda, which was to really get rid of us and get rid of everybody and take over the company. And over time, we saw that they did that to every other one of their portfolio companies, but we actually beat them at their own game. This was, and I think partly because we were older and I've met younger people who've lost their companies in a similar way, and they say, well, I'll start something else. And we knew there wasn't going to be another something. We were well into our 50s by then, and this wasn't going to happen again. And also because we had taken money from our friends, and we weren't about to let that go and lose it. So we were smart, and we learned, and we beat them. But it was a 5-year journey that was I think, like we say, we probably spent as much on legal fees fighting them than anything that they gave us.
Oh, but, Lord! Right.
Yeah. So it was a nightmare. But one of the things that you were talking about, gender, was sitting on this board and being treated like I wasn't talking, like I was not even there when I would speak. And I knew my language was different, but it was really, truly like I was invisible in the room. And my husband kept giving me books on boards and telling me, you know, you're the chairman of the board. You have all the power. You set the agenda. You can let people speak or not speak. But it didn't really work. I never could do that until I finally pulled in my therapy role and started to really listen to these guys and to kind of watch their posturing and all of that, and realized that they were acting like about a 4-year-old mentality,
right,
or emotional mentality.
Well, so I do want to underline that just to tease, to kind of consolidate as we go, and to tease again everything into everything. So, yeah, having grown up with, just seeing around me, you know, power-possessing major economic guys in the world who were very cunning economically, but emotionally, I don't want to diss 11-year-olds, but 11-year-old boys going,
yeah,
you know, bosoms, red cars, zoom, zoom. you know, and I go, oh, these are the guys we outsource, you know, big money to.
Right. Right.
And then also I just want to underline what you said, which is you outfoxed them by not being hungry ghosts.
Right.
You know, and by, in a sense, the very last hexagram of the I Ching, going, it's almost, you've almost pulled it off, but if the wily little fox, falls into the water and gets his tail wet, then all is lost. And then it goes into a long thing about how, the cunning of the wise, slow, older fox is a great, literal and mythological guideline in China. And if the young fox is heedless, then all is lost. Anyway, so you outfoxed by not being hungry.
We did outfox them by slowing down, actually. That's exactly right, because we stopped focusing on growth and slowed that process down and focused on being more profitable and cultivating the relationships with people that had really been supporting us so that everybody was on board and understood what we needed to do. And we turned everything around. And so we could have grown. I mean, when I look back at the demand for our product and everything, the marketplace, but it was okay the way we did it because we strengthened our foundation and we strengthened our company, our team, and we didn't have to take any more money from them. Made them angry, but that was okay too.
Right. So we want to, in a sense, introduce Saturn and Jupiter, limits and bigness, because you have gotten very big on your own rhythm, and I know, I mean, yes, to my girl brain also too. It's like you are now a bazillion-dollar company.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's large and impressive. So there's that, and then also, I know lots of people, lots of guests on this show, who are big time guys, as they've gotten humongous, empires and industries of their own, again, even though we love them and they're doing good things, they've become prisoners of their own empire. And also they've outsourced a lot. I mean, many, many big famous people out there, they do not write their newsletters anymore. They do not. There's also certainly many friends on show, and yes, we won't reveal anybody's secrets at all. No boundary. But the idea of when one turns one's product over to a bigger guy, how does one maintain absolute organic, ingredient authority? And many people have lost on that venture because the big guys will lie. I mean, I know many people, who've got their wonderful, herbal, groovy, fantastic, good for the world product, and they sell it to a bigger guy. We are ethical. We are your friends, who then actually lied about the ingredients. So there is that important journey. Let me tell our team. Also, our wonderful guest is Mary's Gone Crackers, marysgonecrackers.com. They really are great. I'm viewing them, Mary, as our host, our wafer, our sacramental, whatever, especially when we get together going, yes, we're all going to put it on our tongue and go, bless us, oh great mother of the earth, for we have sinned and it has been 800 years since our last confession and now we're going to have crackers and gather strategy. So Mary and I are cahooting, a gathering. I will be out in California in the East Bay Thursday, March 26th, 6:30 p.m. It is gathering tea party. I think it's listed as tickets with Caroline and Mary Waldner, so we can keep this conversation going, a party with a purpose. That's for a pledge of $230, and there will be many cookies and crackers and ethical products from people whom we love what they're doing in the marketplace, because to forge that alliance, again, we want the trickster is the god of the marketplace in global mythology. We want to create that dynamic, so we're offering that. You can come to that great gathering for a pledge of $230. We're offering our great friend Paul Stamets' DVD on psilocybin and amanita, because those are welcome at any good Mad Hatter's tea party. There are still a few tickets to the Cosmic Mass, a pair of tickets for a pledge of $50. Oops, let me go backwards. Paul Stamets' DVD is for a pledge of $100. Matthew Fox, last week's guest, a pair of tickets to the Cosmic Mass, which will be February 8th. That's in about a minute. That's the day after the important climate march in Oakland on Saturday. So we want to, you know, gather in huge ways and gather in small ways. And that's 6:30 p.m. at the Oakland Scottish Rite Center. That's Cosmic Mass with Matthew Fax. Dancing, grieving, communing. Wonderful for a pledge of a pair of tickets for a pledge of $50. Any or all of those things can be yours by calling 1-800-439-5732 or 800-HEY-KPFA or pledging online kpfa.org. And remember, any amount of pledge is very, very welcome. We know $230 is kind of high-end-ish for some. So if you're flush, pledge twice and bring a friend. And also no need to, you know, pull out your portable Harumphitude composter, and any amount of money that is pledged to keep this show cooking away is completely welcome. And we're going to take a very short break. Oh, great Berkeley team out there with our wonderful Taj Mahal. And we will be right back with Mary and our kahooting. Maybe not. Okay, never mind that. We're skipping the break. We'll roll right through it. Okay, that was the break. That was Taj Mahal. You can hear it in your minds, in your head. And we'll just keep rolling. So, Mary Jo has plenty of dough. I guess I want to bring in the dynamic. Marge Piercy's wonderful. I apologize, Marge Piercy, for getting it slightly wrong, but, you know, her charm for attracting wild money, in which, and this is kind of, you know, girls and boys' idea of money, and I want to throw it back to you after I say this, Mary. So Marge Piercy says, I will rub my hands with honey and run through the vaults of banks. You know, come money, you know, I will not chain you in, you know, clanking trust funds, nor lock you away in horrible prisons. No, soon you will be free to join others of your kind. You know, come money and build a murmuring, you know, swarm in my purse, or in KPFA's purse in this case. Mm-hmm. I mean, were you capable, oh, great, and wonderful Mary, of keeping a sense of whimsy as the money got kind of huge and complex in your noble startup business, in which you have maintained ethics and quality control and organic ingredients? But could you still have a kind of playful, sacred sense of money and magic? And I do want to bring the magic part in.
Well, I think I do now, because the whole thing is kind of absurd to me, how big we are and how much money, how many, you know, when I look on spreadsheets, the little that I can read them, you know, how much money we're bringing in and spending and all of that. And it's just, it's kind of feels like monopoly money to me at this point, but it's fun. I mean, it's fun to, like I said before, I never had any money and now I do. And it's kind of a fun place to be in life as I'm getting older. And the most fun part I have about money is that I get to give it away. And that's really fun. So,
And I think that's the Jupiter model. Let's bring Jupiter into play and imagine good-hearted realms and the likes of this wonderful Pacifica Goddess of Peace Network and KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show. And Jupiter says, right now the sun is opposite Jupiter. We are in midwinter when Persephone lights her candle and it begins ascending up from the underworld. And we with her, and a windfall of wherewithal, imagine being flush. And I do love the against all odds possibilities of this too. You know, Jupiter is a part of all of us, that if we go, oh, please give us enough to pay our electric bill, Jupiter, not very interested. But if you go, oh, Jupiter, give us enough to fund the station fully and start a, you know, a program for apprentices, and also, you know, for young women writers, and also, you know, men and women around the world to start entrepreneurial businesses of good ethics, Jupiter gets quite excited.
Right.
If we wanted to create a foundation, you know, So what has this freedom? Well, do you feel free? I mean, do you feel, is it better to be rich, you say?
It's nice to have money. Yeah, it's definitely. I certainly, the worries that I had when I was younger are not there anymore. I have other worries and other issues, but yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that part.
Well,
I like the part what you just said about thinking big, in a sense, because I think that's one of the things that I've learned, and that the message that I give when I talk to people is that the same energy to ask for, like you said, your electric bill to be paid. It takes the same amount of energy to ask for something bigger. So if you're asking and you're putting this energy out into the world to make something, whether it's, you know, for us it was, we knew we were going to make these crackers, but we had no idea how big this was going to be. But it took the same amount of energy to do what we did, whether we were going to be a small company or a big company. And if you're putting this kind of, making this kind of commitment and you're jumping all in, which is what it takes to do this, or to do anything really, then jump all in and imagine the biggest version of it that you can, because like you say, that's what the universe wants to respond to, and it certainly did in our case.
Well, you know, and just for the astro-mythological fun of it all, because you did, you know, when we were speaking backstage, you did say you were, you know, you did bring your own, you know, kind of positive witchcraft to the marketplace.
Right.
You did on occasion, you know, glean the, you know, all ritual magic is literalized metaphor. So you did say, you know, as gleaned from this show, that every now and then you would write people's names down and stick them in the freezer to cool them out, right?
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, well, these are all little tricks I learned from you on the radio. But, yes, I have had a rotating container of ice in my freezer with various people's names on paper, depending on who I thought needed to chill out.
Right, and let's just clarify for our team, because there are new people joining us, as well as people who have been listening since 96, I think. We're allowed to set in motion, in playful, serious whimsy, you know, anything of which we would be the happy recipient. So we say, you know, may those abusing power be moved to a place where they can no longer harm themselves by harming others. And we go, would I be, if I were abusing power, happy? And we, yes, absolutely, you know, then let it rip. You know, and it's from Santeria, actually, in the literalized metaphor, where they go, yeah, if somebody's behaving badly, you write their name on a piece of paper and stick them in the ice cube tray in the freezer to cool them out. And it is, it's one of many things. You can also drop a little bit of honey on their name to sweeten their hearts. These are, you know, women's kitchen magic, but it is part of effective business practice that has been kind of a secret until now. Speaking with many successful women who said that, you know, they, you know, in a boy's world, they did feel that they were losing their souls. These were some of the women banking things, you know, and whatever. But they all did say that that part of their, you know, their pragmatism was enhanced by, you know, the men would go home and they'd pull out their tarot cards and their I Ching and their divination and kind of line up with larger things. Is that part of what you did?
Absolutely. We had feng shui everywhere.
Uh-huh.
That was what my husband is actually now, a born-again feng shui believer, because we, when we were trying to raise the first chunk of money, we had a lot of people kind of hovering around us, but nobody would make the first move, and so my friends suggested that we feng shui our house, and, you know, by this time we're probably $100,000 in debt, because we'd started so much of this ourselves, and well, what the hell, $4,000 more. So we feng shuied our whole house, and within, I think it was like 60 days, we got all of the money. And so that became, now we feng shui, our factory is feng shuied, our offices are feng shuied, so we've always done that. Definitely I Ching and tarot and psychics and energy healers and, spirit guides, everything going on in the background, which I think is, I really believe and know in a deeper way than believing that realm has supported us, because there have been so many places where we should have failed and some magic would happen and we didn't. So I think the other line we say is the universe wanted these crackers because it was bigger than us.
And it's very cute because, you know, before I knew, you know, the fantasticness of your tale, I had you, you know, in my appointment book as Mary's Gone Crackers. I'm like, oh, I see. I didn't understand. But it is adorable, the use of the term, yes, Gone Crackers, going, yes, literal, witty.
Yes.
And a kind of mystery school disguised as a business with these many important things. And then also the, you know, what we spoke about backstage, which is, you know, part of slowing down. Let me see if this makes sense to you. You know, I spoke to you about the, you know, the great obituary of Ingmar Bergman when he died, and it said, you know, Ingmar Bergman failed many times. He made 10 films that were all terrible before he got his rhythm, and they were grieving that in the realm of modernity, people don't have the slowed down time to blow it, to blow it, to blow it, to get it right.
Right.
I mean, is that, I mean, did you, does that apply to you in some way?
Well, I'm not sure in the food industry, because I think people do blow it all the time and come back and do it again. But you don't, I think typically we don't see that. I think it's probably, I don't think the economy, and I don't think the food industry the way it is now, even in the short time that we've been involved in it, that it's harder and harder and harder to get products into stores. It used to be easier, and if you had a product and you weren't successful, people could try again. I think now if you fail in that way, it gets harder and harder to, it's like, you know, you don't, nobody wants to touch you. So it's harder to not be a success right away. But I think it really does happen, because that's what life is. I mean, I was a successful therapist, but I had lots of ideas that nothing ever came of. And so I think it's just what life is really about, but we don't, I don't think we, talk about it, and we don't, expect it. Because, you know, if people look at me, they think, oh, you've lived the American dream, you know, which I hear a lot. I've lived the American dream. I came up with an idea. I started a company, and I'm this huge success, right? And that's all anybody sees. But nobody sees that this is by far the hardest thing I've ever done, that we've worked just ridiculous, and the battle, like I was saying about the people that were trying to take us down, the wars that we had to fight over and over and over, from people within the industry, from people outside of the industry, that people want to steal your ideas, people want to tell you that you can't do what you're going to do. I mean, that no one, the projection is that, oh, you just did this great thing. It's like the movie star that's been trying to be famous, you know, for 30 years, and then they're an overnight success. It's the same kind of thing. I think our projection is much stronger, that it's just like going from point A to point B and boom, and that's not what life is.
Well, I want to bring in some of the patterned metaphysic in a sense right now, because I'm looking at the chart of right now as we're all convening, and the astrological chart, then there's your wonderful self. But then also, you know, when Mary's Gone Crackers was born on February 17th, 2004, and just for the perfection of it, and then I will aspire to convey this to our listening audience, and we will, you know, exhort them to Kahoot. But for instance, right now, today, the sun is at 16 degrees of Aquarius. When Mary's Gone Crackers was founded, Mercury, its voice, was at 16 Aquarius. So we go, we're giving it a voice. We're giving it a voice. You know, and some very wonderful things. I got this beautiful letter from listener. I love listening to your voice in my ear every Thursday, usually in my kitchen making some fermented co-creation with the little ancestors. Thanks for inoculating good heart and jaunty bravery in me, says this wonderful woman. Hello, Kate. And she says, I just want to voice a quick scouting report from 6 degrees Pisces, my natal sun. And I go, ooh, 6 degrees Pisces? Why, that's also when Mary Waldner was born. Her son's at 6 Pisces. And let me just bring this into play for all of us, because I think part of the medicine that you're contributing, and also our wonderful listener, Kate, is you know, hard won and dedicated, you know, as you say, but the time of pragmatic mysticism, applied divination, you know, into the marketplace is at hand. You know, and we wonder about, you know, your own wonderful journey, Mary, because it looks all, many things could be happening. But also for us, since we're all in this dream together, the idea of, you know, the dist or, you know, exiled dream being brought into play, into manifest form, even in the economic realm of the marketplace, you know, I think it's heartening to the likes of Pacifica Radio, of KPFA, a Visionary Activist Show, of all people who have a particular dream, going, yeah, you gotta work with it. If you do the dedication, plus the magic, and see, this is also again what we're kind of applying or teasing into, you know, Visionary Activism, into effective action in the world, going, or you know, or my tongue-in-cheek, you know, book and et cetera called Making the Gods Work for You. The gods don't want to do 51%. But they're willing to do 50%, right? So,
right.
So in your own dynamic, you know, 50%, 50% magic, 50% your own hard work, yeah?
Yeah. Definitely.
And then let me pitch so that our wonderful Visionary Activist Show and KPFA can prosper as well, and we can continue to cavort. So part of the experimental ongoing, you know, in our festival of reciprocal blessing, may it go well for each person listening and for this station and for this show, going, what would be fun? What would I pledge for? So that's why there are tickets to the gathering, which is with me, Caroline Casey, and Mary Waldner. That will be Thursday, March 26th in the East Bay, to be announced, at 6:30 p.m. for a pledge of $230. And when you call to pledge, 800-439-5732, be sure to give whomever answers the phone your contact info, because I will be contacting you with the logistics about how and where we gather on Thursday, March 26th. But it's a great, fun council opportunity. And again, that's for a pledge of $230, 1-800-439-5732. For our listeners everywhere in the world, kpfa.org, secure pledging online is wonderful because, I want to throw Japan back to you, Mary, because we do have quite a lot of listeners in Japan on our webcast. Hello, Japan, and Hawaii, yeah, and Alaska, and Australia, and South Africa, and Sweden. Hello, team. We're also offering, you know, our great ally Paul Stamets' DVD on psilocybin, excuse my dental work, lisping, psilocybin and Amanita mushrooms. That's for a pledge of $100. Paul is a great ally. And I think we still have a few pairs of tickets to the Cosmic Mass, which is this Sunday, February 8th at 6:30 p.m. at the Oakland Scottish Rite Center. That's last week's guest, Matthew Fox. Dancing, everything, for a pair of, that's a pair of tickets for $50. Any or all of those things, 1-800-439-5732 or 800 Hey KPFA, or pledging online, kpfa.org is also welcome. And when you come Kahoot with Mary and me on Thursday, March 26th, we will have Mary's Gone crackers and fantastic cookies. Yes. We will. That's a wonderful donation, you know, of reciprocal blessings. So we do love that. And then let's go Japan. And also thank you, Ronald Geis. What a wonderful name. Yay, Ronald Geis. Thank you so much. Oops, even though you might not have wanted to be thanked on the air. Okay, I thanked you anyway. I couldn't help myself. We all know everything anyway. So that's very wonderful. So can we go briefly to Japan?
Let's
go to Japan.
So 2 years ago, so after 5 years of battling our investors and winning every round but being more and more beaten down, we were rescued in a sense by the largest rice cracker company in Japan, who bought 80% of our company and took out all the investors, and so left my husband and I to own 20% of the company. But we formed a real partnership where we They knew they needed us to continue to run the company and grow it, and they brought in some of their expertise of manufacturing and helping us to further automate our process and get good equipment in there. And so we have a great partnership with a Japanese company where we're learning about each other's cultures and each other's styles of communicating and styles of doing business, and it's been quite an yet another adventure for the last 2 years. So, but a much better partnership because they don't seem to lie, at least not yet. They don't look straight in the face and lie, which is what we had been dealing with before. And they also, they're slow. I mean, they're into slow, which is sometimes very frustrating because we wanted them to, you know, kind of jump on board and do everything right away. But their process is much more methodical, and they look at, you know, this is like a lifetime commitment. So we have time to learn about each other and all of that. So it's been an amazing experience and journey, and I've been to Japan a couple times now, and they're very, very, very dear people, at least from this company. We're very lucky to have them as a partnership.
So you spoke about ethics and manners as a kind of distinct older, slower culture of money, maybe more deep-rooted than the, you know, faster, less deep-rooted, I don't know, you correct me if it's not fair to say, of the, you know, kind of American organic whippersnapper male guys with a good image, but some possibly, ethically challenged. Is that a fair thing to say in your experience?
Well, I would not idealize the Japanese.
Yes, okay, good, that's true.
You know, but right. I would say that the American companies, and it's really been our business model, I think, especially since the 80s, where it's all about, you know, grow fast and sell. And so in that process, you compromise your values in order to meet that standard. And I think, at least again, with this company from Japan, that is not their model. Their model is, you know, we're buying you. This is our lifetime partnership. There is no out here. There's nobody to sell it to in their mind, even though that isn't true. But so it's a much deeper commitment, and there's more responsibility. Then they can't just mess it up. And the other thing that was just so wonderful is that the reason they wanted to buy us was because of our values, you know, organic and healthy and doing something good in the world was what mattered to them, which I'd never heard from even the organic companies. It had more in from the U.S. It had much more to do with the illusion of health. What you can put on the front of the box in the United States, you can say pretty much anything because it has to do with the illusion of nutrition or the illusion of health versus what's really there. And that's a very frustrating part of our food system to me. And I'm not sure what packaging is like in Japan because I can't read anything that I've seen, but at least, again, with this company, they valued our values, and that's really important to them, and that was really important.
And why do I have this, I mean, using 100% organic, absolutely certified, and then why do I have this note in my notes here, 5 million pounds of organic rice?
Yes, that's how we use.
Per what?
Per year. We use 5 million pounds of organically grown rice, all coming from California right now. If we may have to change that because we're running out of water, so we're running out of rice, but it all has come from one family farm right about 45 minutes from our factory here in Northern California.
So wow.
It's a very cool relationship.
So let's do a kind of co-exhortation, because apparently we're being too mesmerizingly fascinating for people to actually call. So it's wonderful and pertinent, and this idea of outfoxing, and also this wonderful complexity that we want to explore more, again, to and fro and questions, into a kind of party with a purpose, tea party on Thursday, March 26th, that you can come to for a pledge of $230 with me and with Mary, and that's by calling 800-439-5732. Because it is, these are wonderfully complex things, as we also said backstage. We need a broad team. Wonderful book by Perry Enzel, who wrote The Harder They Come, a Jamaican novel about called Power Game, meaning to pull off the Rasta revolution, you need the guys smoking ganja in the field and the Rasta spirituality, and you need one ethical person hidden away in the CIA to call off the invasion, and you need whatever. Do you have your diverse team? We need everybody in some way?
Well, inside and outside of the company, yes. We have a great team of people in the company that's kind of been the surprise gift of doing this. Is we have about 270 employees now, which is amazing to me. But that people love what we do and want to work for us, and I get to work with all these wonderful people and just adore them all, and it's just such a treat to have that kind of energy. And then, like I said, outside I have all kinds of magicians and energy.
Well, let's see if we can hurl our horsetail whip with Oya and summon the winds of change. Because when Mary's Gone Crackers was born, the sun was at 28 Aquarius, which is the Arab Spring degree, meaning its image is butterfly emerging from chrysalis, birth of a whole new cultural model. So that's your business there. Right next to Uranus, again, ingenuity, experimentation and ingenuity. And it is connected to, well, and I do love the kind of origin creation myth of, equipped from our great ally Steve Behrman, Swami Beyondananda, on the Visionary Activist Show, in which gave you the rhyme, Mary Jo's got plenty of dough to go. Yes, we need a rhythm and a rhyme and some traction. And now we want to exhort our team out there to support this station and this show. Because I do get so many wonderful, again, the webcast people, too. Here's somebody, I listen to your radio shows as I drive to and from Portland. Says, great, hearing your voice and your inspired guests, yes, is a source of comfort and connection. I'm grateful to be able to tune in. Well, we get these wonderful things every day, and we go, manifest. And maybe you can exhort our team, Mary, to do manifest donations. We have, quirky things. We are offering, the gathering with Mary and myself, Mary Waldner and myself, on Thursday, March 26th, as an experiment, a kind of Venusian roundtable combining spirituality and business ethics and tea and crackers, really, for a pledge of $230. We have Paul Stamets's DVD, which is wonderfully popular, on psilocybin and amanita, and we have a few tickets to the Cosmic Mass with Matthew Fox, Scottish Rite Center, on February 8th at 6:30, 10 pairs of tickets remaining for a pair of tickets for $50, Paul Stamets' DVD for $100, gathering with Mary Waldner and myself, March 26th in the East Bay, 6:30 p.m. Be sure and give your contact info when you pledge for that, for a pledge of $230, 1-800-439-5732. Or 800 Hey KPFA or KPFA.org. Do you have any magic mojo words, Mary, to conjure?
Yeah, KPFA is a huge, huge gift in everyone's lives, and if you're in a position to give anything, then you have that gift as well. And gifts need to be exchanged, and it's time to praise KPFA, because I don't know who I would be without KPFA, and I bet there's thousands of you out there that feel the same way, particularly about this show, because it speaks to the magic that we all feel and we all know is there, and how many places in the world get to get to broadcast something like this. And so this is your opportunity to connect to your community and give what you can. So it's a gift that you have to give.
That's wonderful. And it is, we're all in this dream together. Again, you know, everything we are pledging to ourselves. And one of the, part of the beauty of right now, some things are always true, but there are times when they are truer. The sun, basic central self, has a quintile, an exact 72-degree angle to Saturn, which is the power of dedication. So when you call 800-439-5732, you know, and we're on our way out here, but just add a dedication. You know, may it be by the pledging of this money. No matter how much it is magic, powerful seed money. You know, and you put your dream into it in your heart as you call 800-439-5732. So thank you so much, Mary Waldner. Mary'sGoneCrackers.com, a wonderful source and a wonderful inspiration and a wonderful story. And you're a wonderful ally. And may we cahoot in perpetuity and your influence go forth. And thanks always to Alex Drewinskis in Washington, D.C., and Erica Bridgman in Berkeley. I'm Caroline Casey, and we will reconvene next week with Slow Medicine. Thank you, team.